Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help businesses to connect you with the right people. I'm Daniel Liguori, and welcome to another edition of Business Scorecard. This afternoon, I have the special privilege of having Jacob Fan and Edward Smith on with me. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, it's great to have you both here after what a heck of a Monday night football game last night. I just both got to see that game.
Yeah, it was definitely something to remember. And as we talked about, kind of made me angry as a Cardinals fan.
Yes, yes. and you get to see that also, Edward.
Yeah. It was, you know, I like a little more defense in my football. Yes. But, you know, as far as action packed, and then you talk about the fantasy implications. There were a lot of people who won and lost games in that one game alone. Never seen anything like that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. So, Edward, start for our listening audience. So introduce yourself, what you do now, and I don't know, you're also a former NFL player. If you can introduce yourself.
Yeah, 9-year minor league baseball player from 1987 to 95. Made the switch over to football. From 96 to 2001, played with a variety of different teams, baseball and football wise. And since retiring from professional sports in 2001, I've done a few different things. I've authored a book. I'm a motivational speaker. Also have a radio show out here in the Valley, Easy Sports Talk on NBC Sports Radio 1060 AM. Had the pleasure of having you, Daniel, join me on the show this past Saturday.
That was a lot of fun.
I also do a Thursday night show as well. But the show on Saturday, you know, we do a lot of sports topics, support local charities, nonprofit organizations. And, you know, having you on was a lot of fun. We had a chance to talk some sports and what you do here at Business Radio X. And appreciate you having me in, man.
Oh, certainly my pleasure. How about you, Jacob? If you are listening audience, what you do and your involvement in the great world of sports.
So I own a social media marketing agency, and I work with about 50 to 60 businesses all across the United States, really helping them grow their business. But as well, I work with individuals such as professional athletes. I work with tons of professional athletes from the NBA, NFL, any jiu-jitsu. I work with some of them, helping them create their content, getting them out there. A lot of these athletes need video photography, pictures, and they need to put that out there in social media. Social media is playing such a big role for people, for their PR and for their brand. I mean, you look at the top athletes right now, they are selling their shoes, they're selling their clothes, and so they need to get their name out there to sell that. And so I help them with their content as well when it comes to charity events and things like that. So it kind of has different aspects. I love working with athletes and getting their name out there. So it's really exciting to do that.
That's awesome. What got you into that?
I always played basketball. I'm not gonna say I was really good, but I was a top shooter in the state of Arizona. And I went to NAU and I wanted to play there. I didn't get to play, but I got a lot of connections. And so when I started my business, one of my clients was a motivational speaker, and he knew an agent, an NBA agent, and they needed content. And so I said, look, I'd love to help. And they asked me, okay, how much do you want for? And I said, look, I don't want anything. I just want the connection. So when you get when you have other clients, I would love to help. And so I've been helping them with all their content. As an agent, they have access to a bunch of different players. So I love helping them with their content. And it's exciting for me because I get the connections with these players and see, you know, different aspects of their personal life and professional life as well.
I would imagine that that's a job that keeps you on your toes because I guess the adverse effects that social media can have. And a lot of athletes don't learn that early and they don't have that filter. So
exactly.
It probably keeps you
exactly.
And keeps you really on your toes.
No, exactly. And that's one of the problems. You know, one thing that I always was wondering is, do athletes, are they the ones that post on Twitter? Are they the ones, or do they have someone doing that? And I always wondered that.
I've asked myself the same question.
Yeah. And it depends on the athlete. A lot of PR with the agents, you know, the agencies will tell them you're using a PR person to do your Twitter. But for like Instagram and Facebook, they do their own because it's on the go. But for Twitter, they got to be careful because that gets out there now. And that can hurt their brand and their name.
It's very dangerous.
Exactly.
It's a dangerous tool. You know, it's a curse and a blessing at the same time.
Exactly.
As you're trying to build your brand, you know, I always tell people to think not twice, but 20 times before you hit the send button.
Yep.
On anything. And a lot of times, you know, we see it all the time, whether it's late night tweeting or maybe a drunk tweeting, who knows what it is, but stupid things are said.
Yeah.
And once they're said, they can't be pulled back in.
I mean, look what's happening with, you know, Lonzo Ball and his father in the NBA. It's been hurting him.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't, like, no one wants to trade for him because of his father running his mouth on social media. I mean, and that really does, like I said, it has a good effect and a bad effect as well. And it's taking, you know, in 5 years, it's crazy of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
With social media and professional athletes, definitely.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, I know you deal with a lot of athletes, and every athlete, you know, has a different role, whether with sports. Is it something where it takes a, you know, different mindset? You know, you may deal with an athlete, there might be a story about them, you know, how to continue to remain professional. I know professionalism is such an important thing.
Yep.
Have you ran into something like that?
Yeah. So, and that goes with my businesses as well. You
yeah.
know, I tell everyone, I do a lot of speaking engagements nights, and you can probably speak to this as well. You know, you got to know who your audience is, and you got to know who you're talking to, and then you can kind of cater how you talk to them and connect with them.
Right.
And so with some professional athletes, you got to be a lot more professional.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you know, you can be more personable and things like that. But yeah, every athlete's different. Every business is different of who you talk to. And kind of after the first conversation, and you kind of see how they go about themselves, you can kind of get that. And I'm guessing you know that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coincidentally, I have a nephew who's a junior at Alabama. He's a starting tight end. And I've been actually getting contacted through agencies trying to get to him through me and to my brother. And, you know, it's funny. I'm giving the courtesy sit down with one of them tomorrow. He, you know, and they do all the social media. They do the, basically they're like a big concierge.
Yep.
And they're not necessarily an agent when they approach me. And I, you know, I gave the information to my brother because that's not my son. It's his son.
Yeah.
I let them know. I sent the information to him. They still want to sit down just to talk to me, but it's the same thing. There's so many ways that social media and what you do are beneficial. And I wish more and more young athletes would be in touch with someone like you, because they ruin their career. There's a lot of bad publicity and bad things that happen out there. And, you know, and I came through an era when we didn't have social media and we didn't have computers for that matter. You know, the late 80s, early 90s. I think about how different my career would have been if I had everything today to deal with today. And it would have been, you know, we all would have had to have been educated. So, you know, I give real big kudos to you. Now, how do you find you? Is it mostly a lot of referrals? Is that how you get the majority of your?
You know, it's unbelievable. And I'm grateful for it. I've had my business for about 2 years and it's all been word of mouth and referrals. I've never done any advertising. And so it's just when I talk to people, and as a, you know, as a motivational speaker, you talk to people, when you do great work, it speaks for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, that speaks for itself. And so you're exactly right when it comes down to it. Look what LeBron did. He went to LA and he's doing bigger things. He wants to do bigger things. He's all over social media and all these things. And he's, like I said, he makes a certain amount in the NBA, but probably makes 100 times more after the NBA. And that's something that I try to, because I work with influencers, well, younger kids that are very, have a lot of followers on social media. And it plays in with professional athletes because it's what's next after their career.
Yeah.
Right. You know, a lot of them retire in their early 30s, maybe not even. And they don't have retirement money because they have these lifestyles that they can't fulfill. And so they have to get their brand there. And social media plays a huge role. And so you're exactly right. You have a lot of these agencies that just do marketing, to where I love to be personable and have that connection as a friendship. And that's what I see a lot of agents are doing is that they're friends with them. They're, you know, the client that I have, he's best friends with with his players. He goes to games with them. And I think they feel more comfortable with that. And it's the same with video photographers and picture content people. A lot of them, you know, for example, a lot of the Suns players, for example, their video people and everything, they're best friends with. They've been friends with them since high school, and they just have, they're so comfortable with them that they put them on there. I mean, I don't know if you see that, but a lot of, you know, college players, they have their friends doing their pictures and things like that. And that's just because you get so much temptation.
That's a tricky double-edged sword because you want to make sure you stay professional and keep your business and your personal kind of separated. So I always cringe a little bit when I see too much of a relationship when it comes to whoever's dealing with your money, or, you know, it's your old childhood buddy, because through my era, I've seen a million stories when it went bad.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, but, you know, as long as you do your, my advice to anybody out there, do your homework in terms of who you have, managing your money, managing your social media, managing any of your businesses, anything like that. because as you said, Jay, it's all a brand.
Yep.
And the last thing you want is a stain on your brand. So, you know, be careful out there. And, you know, like I said, you come with the background and you also come with referrals. So when people are giving you the word, you know, that's where you can do your investigation.
And you're exactly, you know, my grandparents, I go with them to dinner about 2 to 3 times a week and they teach me everything. And my grandma taught me, she was like, it's hard to get back is your name and your reputation. You know, you can get back money, you can get back things, but your name is everything. And so it's the same thing that you're just talking about. You know, one word on social media can ruin your reputation. One thing, one picture, right? You've seen that on social media where someone will snap a picture of someone at a club or something and your perception is totally changed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what being a sports fan, a lot of it is, you know, like coaches, players are accountable for everything they do.
Yep.
Especially, you know, in the NFL, MLB, you know, if they make a play and it ends up being a field kicker misses a kick or coach makes a bad decision, they're going to be scrutinized for it. So there's no way around that. And I know you, when you played, how did coaches, from your perspective, how did coaches deal with that? You know, where they get questioned about, you know, the way a season's going or a questionable move. Is that something where they have to just can't internalize it? What was your experience with
that? Well, it's every situation is different. Yeah. And I actually lived through one of the most unique ones out there.
Yeah.
When the 98 Falcons, you know, my second year in Atlanta, we went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And we actually had that incident with Eugene Robinson the night before the Super Bowl, you know, out receiving an award for Humanitarian of the Year and made a bad, horrible mistake on the way home. Got himself into a little trouble the night before the game. And, you know, that was, you're talking about total chaos and, you know, at the worst possible moment. That was probably, I don't know if there were words that could have even described, you know, to handle that. Coach Reeves, Dan Reeves, who was my coach at the time, you know, night before the game, we all get up the next day and we got the biggest game of our lives that day. And I'm sure he had been hit 1,000 times with different questions. And he tried to internalize it and like shrug it off and not kind of address it. It took us out of our game a little bit, but I can't imagine how he felt getting a phone call in the middle of the night and then having to answer those questions. And then even for Eugene Robinson, the day of the game, obviously he had a horrible game, we ended up losing. And then after that, his career was never the same. But those are those instances, not just doing something, you know, social media wise, but physically as well, doing stuff. And the thing is, that was back in January of 99.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine if something like that happened in 2018.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, as a player in that locker room, how does that happen? Because you see what happened with like Odell Beckham. Right. He came out with one of the rappers and talked about how the environment not good. And then they're asking the coach and the coach is like, I don't know. And the players, they ask the players what's going on in UC with Le'Veon Bell and things like that. How, you know, you were in the locker room during that time. How does that affect?
It does. You know, everybody tries to initially what the head coach's job is. His job is to get everybody on the same page. So we all have a unified answer. But it still doesn't take away from your, like you have an opinion about something. We know how we're supposed to be robots and going and, you know, no comment. But, you know, obviously even the night before the game, something like that happened with us. And later on, we were all asked about it and we were trying to stay on the same page. But a lot of us were hurt in terms of how could he do this the night before and what was he thinking? And so, you know, you try to give the cachet answers, but deep down, you know, your actual real thoughts and your opinions, they will eventually surface. You know, in that instance, it was one of those things where we just, you know, we had a game to play that very day. And then even afterwards, it was fallout from the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And I learned an incredible amount going through that. I'm just happy I was on the other side of it, just having to answer questions regarding Eugene rather than having to experience something like that person. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, his career was never the same after that. But and to your point, say you when you do something, it's out there for the world to see.
Oh, God,
and like I said, I can only imagine. That was 1998, as I said. Could not imagine if that was 2018, something like that happening. It would have, probably the internet probably would have exploded.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talk about sports has a lot of emotions. The 98 Falcons were one of those teams that you guys went to Minnesota, upset the Vikings, and then went to play the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. Talk about as far as the roller coaster, you go come off that huge win, beat the Vikings. That Vikings, I think, were 15-1 that year. Hadn't lost a game at home. You guys beat them in overtime. And I remember seeing you in that photo when Anderson made that kick in overtime. And then, you know, going to, you know, a couple weeks later to face the Broncos. And then after that game, how did it, you know, was there a lot of, like, shifting the mind, you know, going from an NFC championship game to that happening, you know, because you know, certain things happen so fast.
Well, it's funny after the game because, you know, we went up to Minnesota. Nobody gave us a chance. We were 11.
I remember watching that game and everybody was like, well, the Vikings should be a clear win. And I remember telling my dad. 11,
we're 11.5 point underdog, I think. So we go up there. We have this amazing game, you know, going to overtime, win it. And Coach Reeves says something that was prophetic. After the game, you know, we're celebrating on the field, trophy celebration. You know, I'm out there in tears, crying, hugging my teammates. You know, we finally get up into the locker room afterwards. And this is after everything. So imagine that we get up there in the locker room, finally get us all together after all this craziness. And Coach Reeves got us together and said, look, men, we just accomplished something. We set out goals from training camp, even before that, during the offseason. We haven't accomplished everything. We've done, we just achieved something that is great. He said, but I want you to listen to me right now. He said, right now, you're experiencing the highest of the highs. You feel like nothing else could outdo this. We got a job to do. We got to go down to Miami in 2 weeks. You're going to be facing the Denver Broncos. And he said, right now, you're experiencing the highest of the high. He said, if we don't complete our mission in 2 weeks, you're going to experience the lowest of the lows. And I never forget. About three quarters into the game, it was that reality set. Denver had control of that game. We had the roller coaster. We're battling, trying to even make it close. And about 4 minutes left, you look across the sideline, you see the Denver Broncos lifting John Elway on their shoulders because he's about ready to ride out on the horse and everything. And I had to get away from my teammates. Some tears are coming down my eyes and, you know, grown man on the sideline. And I'm thinking, I can't let anybody see me crying. I look down and everybody on the entire sideline, all my players, we're all sitting there and we're teared up because we just experienced the lowest of the low. We had, and it's one of those things where, it's a game, but at the same time, you reflect, will I ever get back to this point again, which most of us don't. You look back on all the blood, sweat, tears, everything it took to get to that point and then to not achieve the ultimate. And it was, like I said, it was, and I use those words too, like when Coach, whenever I think about Coach Dan Reeves and that whole experience, I think about how high we were and how low we felt at the end when we didn't accomplish what we thought, was the ultimate goal. Yeah. And it's a lesson in life.
It certainly is. And I know playing in that game, you said you were a fan of John Elway. I'm sure you got a chance to meet John. He was, that year the Broncos they beat the Packers the year before, then they went and beat you guys in the Falcons. Did it make you feel like, as a friend, I know you were going through the emotion, but John Elway, ending his career with a Super Bowl, did that, kind of, even though I know it's a hard loss, but you have to say, I know it's never easy. I guess what I should say when, after thinking about it, it's a friend of yours on the other side and I know sports, being as a sport, with sportsmanship, was that something you're like, seeing John
when you're dumb when you're in the midst of it, there is no consolation. Years later though, I think about the number of players that I played with. And my career was abbreviated in the NFL because of my 9 years of baseball before then. There are a lot of guys who played a lot longer than me, including my brother who put 9 years in the league, never made it to that Super Bowl. For me, I'm able to reflect on it now and look back and think, I really did accomplish something and I should be proud of it, but I always do joke, it's like my ring should be a little bigger, but and here's the thing. I always tell people I was 60 minutes of football away from going to the White House, meeting Bill and Hillary and walking around. Unfortunately, we didn't. It was the Broncos who did. But the experience for me is something that can never be taken away. And I around Super Bowl time, every year I reflect on that. So it's like a constant reminder. Every year the Super Bowl comes around and I remember what it was like those 2 weeks leading up to it. And I try to block out the last 4 minutes of that game on Super Bowl Sunday, but like I said, it's an experience that can never be taken away.
Go ahead, Jacob.
No, I've always had this question, and I listen to sports talk all the time, and they talk about, is it better getting blown out, or is it better, when you lose by a small margin? What hurts more? What hurts more? I've always wondered that. Does it hurt more when you just lose at the buzzer, or at the last second, or you just get blown out?
That's a great question. I can tell you, because we pretty much got blown out, the final score was 31-19. It wasn't even that close. Yeah. We scored. I would rather get our doors blown off than what happened to the Vikings. When we did beat them a couple weeks prior with the last second field goal and everything, that would be even more painful. So, and everybody will tell you differently. Anybody who who experienced the last second loss would say they would probably, you know, the other way around. So I, it was a big tease, but we were out of that game pretty early and the reality hit early. So I didn't, you know, like if we would have been on pins and needles all the way down and then took it away from the end, I would, as much as I was crying, even with the blowout, I probably, who knows how bad it would have been. But that is a great question though.
But I really, to your credit, I mean, you know, after that 98 season, you know, to come back and to go back, you know, play again that next year after, you know, experiencing that, you know, I think that's, it shows the character of, you know, coming back after, you know, losing the Super Bowl, having to play that next year. And the next year you're with the Eagles, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So how was that, you know, transition different? I mean, you came from the Atlanta Falcons, NFC champs, and then you went to the Eagles who were, I guess, you know, were kind of in a rebuilding mode.
Total rebuild.
Andy Reid had came on. You had Donovan McNabb drafted as quarterback. And was it a whole different mindset?
Different,
you know,
culture.
Oh, yeah. Different, Philadelphia is huge.
In Atlanta, we had been there. I'd been there 2 years, and we were building like a family type atmosphere. And it's hard to do in football because you have so many different personalities, so many different people on the roster. Yeah. When I went to Atlanta, or I mean, went to Philly, total contrast. It was literally a hodgepodge of guys, new coach, new system, rookie quarterback, and it was everybody trying to find their way, and it was a mess. Yeah. It really was a mess.
Yeah, and so that year with a new coach, and then you had Donovan McNabb, new quarterback. Was it just, you know, I look at the Arizona Cardinals right now, and they're kind of going through that. Is it when a new coach comes in, a new quarterback? Is it the teams just go through these things, just everybody gelling? As you looked at that Eagles year, do you see some similarities with the Cardinals are going through?
I see similarities in the makeup, meaning the ingredients that are in the pot now, how they're all stirred together,
it's a different
and
way,
you know, whatever temperature you're going to bake them at to get to that eventual. Yeah. The Cardinals are, and Jacob, you can speak to this, looking at them as a fan, you can tell they're trying. And I'll tell you this, before the Oakland game, because, you know, I do all kinds of pick 'em shows and stuff like that. My philosophy on this game was, the Oakland looked like they were heading in the wrong direction, even though they had similar records. You looked and you saw the Cardinals. It's like, well, they're playing, but they look like they're at least heading upward. Now, they come in here and they win the game. Now it kind of evens things out. It looks like, as a Cardinals fan, I would even ask you this. Do you have any optimism because you can't let Oakland come in here?
This is the optimism, right? You look at the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner was actually just talking about this, how you go in the NFL, it's completely different than the NBA and any other sport. You can go from one bad year, horrible year, to being the best team in the league. So that gives me optimism. Seeing David John, seeing those, there's chemistry issues all over. And I don't know, you know, I'm hearing that a lot of fans, like my friends are like, get rid of the coach. You know, they need a new, younger coach. I mean, that's, you know, look at Los Angeles Rams. Look at some of these teams. I really don't know. I mean, I like the quarterback. I think that's an upside is I like the quarterback, our quarterback. And so there's a lot of teams that need a franchise quarterback. I don't think it's a lack of talent either. I think there's a lot of talent on the team. I think that the problem is, and on the defensive side too, and they were talking about this, when you go into a new team, the coach has to adapt to the players, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was mishandled. I think he brought in a system that he thought was going to work with not the right talent. And that kind of goes with the linebackers they talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think, look, at the end of the day, the chemistry and things like that can hurt you really bad. And you see what's going on with our record right now.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Now, there's comes a point where the integrity of the game comes in. And I look at, you know, the Raiders 1-9, the Cardinals were 2-7 going into that game. We all look at the draft pick. I mean, the draft, they're both going to be high in the draft. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, Edward, and also you, Jacob, do teams, technically do try a little less because they know that draft pick is going to be there? Or, you know, fans pay to go out and see them win. They all want to win. And you look at the draft pick, I mean, is it, where's the fine line come in there? And I know they talked about it on the sports talk shows. And a lot of fans have said, well, yeah, you know, if you lose, you get closer to that number one pick. If you're 3-7 versus 2-8, you're not going to the playoffs. You lose. I mean, does that give you that advantage to get closer to the number one pick? So
that's a hard
from a
question.
Business perspective, and of course, you know, you have a lot of other things going on with the coaches who may not be back next year. Does that win help secure the, you know, help the GM stay or the coach stay as a franchise? Does it make them get better, you know, for in a long run? What's your perspective on that, Ed?
Break it down to you in layers.
Okay.
ownership.
Yep.
They want the best product on the field that they can get. You know, they're not, but the bottom line for them, they're in it to make money. They own these franchises. Management, they're trying to do the best for the team, current and future. So they are the ones who put the structure of the roster together. They might have an internal plan of, hey, we're going to, you know, be bad so we can get a higher draft pick. That's, you know, that happens at that level. Doesn't at the next level down. Now, coaches, they're trying to save their jobs. They're not out there, you know, they're not out there to lose games because they know the more they lose, closer they are to the unemployment line. Right. So they're trying to do what they have, the best they can with what they have, which is given to them by the upper level. Then you get down to the level of players. Players are out there to play, one, win, two. The other is to put film out there so they have, you know, if not with the Cardinals, you know, there are 31 other teams out there. Yeah. They're auditioning every week. Players with any type of integrity out there giving everything they have, trying to win the game. Sometimes the deck is stacked against them because of what they're playing with. You look at, and Jacob, you talked earlier about their roster. They do have talent on the roster. It, in my opinion, is just not enough sprinkled throughout to help them, to give them more of a chance every week. So, like I said, when you talk about tanking, that happens up top. It doesn't happen down low on the field. But you will see teams that sometimes fans or somebody say, yeah, it looked like they quit. And there's different versions of that, you know, but for the majority of the time, players are out there trying to win.
Yeah.
Like I said, the tanking part takes place up top.
I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. I think you perfectly summarized that. But I think as well, you know, I talk to a lot of players, you know, with the Suns and things like that. And they've been horrible for the past, you know, I don't even know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And you're exactly correct. When you're like that, you're trying to get film because you're trying to get a contract with another team. So you want to play, you know, it comes down to when you start doing bad and you're not on a good team, you're in it for yourself. And they don't care about team basketball and things like that.
Yep.
And you kind of see that. You're starting to kind of see that with the Suns. I mean, they're starting to not do so well. And you're starting to see some of the players, you know, I'm not going to be here next year. So, you know, so, some of the veterans, I'm not going to say specifically names, but some of the veterans, you can just tell that they're on a 1 year contract. They don't care. They're just here to get, like I said, they came here for money and they're ready to get, you know, another contract somewhere else.
So from a fan's perspective, do you think that when a team is going through a rebuild, It's just, you know, when it comes down to losing these games, is it just something fans have to be patient with? Or, I mean, where do you, you know, as a former player, I mean, is it just everybody's different? I mean,
I've been on some bad teams before. Yeah. It's embarrassing. If you have pride in what you do, it's embarrassing as a player to be out there on a team that is just that bad.
Yes.
And you want, you know, I've been on teams where we came out of our own tunnel and got booed before.
Was that with the Eagles or?
When I was with the Falcons, my first year, we started that season 1-7. My first year in Atlanta, 97. Yeah. We were trying to get there. Those first few weeks, we were not good. We finished the season on a 6-2 run. So you can see and that catapulted us into the following year. But I remember coming out of our tunnel in Atlanta, particular game. I think we were playing the Raiders and we got booed coming out of our own stadium because there were more Atlanta or Raiders fans than Atlanta in our own stadium. And I always warned, you know, like management here in Arizona, because we all know that this is a transient community. A lot of people from other places who still have allegiances to their other team are trying to buy into the Cardinals, and you've got to give them a reason to stay interested in what with the Suns that you talk about. You have got to give them a reason to want to spend their money to come into these games. Yes. Otherwise, the more years you put a bad product out there, the harder it's going to be to refill that stadium arena.
Look what happened with the Suns this year with DeAndre Ayton. I mean, look at the signs, Time to Rise. I mean, that sold tickets. I mean, there's a reason why they wanted him because of the player. And as well, he was going to sell tickets.
Marketing, yeah.
It's all, I mean, right now, to be honest, it's all about marketing. I mean, that's what they think about is what's going to sell us tickets. It's kind of going with the Diamondbacks right now.
Yes.
Is if they get rid of Paul Goldschmidt and they get rid of Zach Greinke, who's going to be on the front? Who's going to be there?
That's the huge,
who's going to sell the tickets? Exactly, and so that's a huge problem that they think about. And so they were talking about it. I mean, the Suns, to come up with that slogan, Time to Rise, you know, they just took off Josh Jackson off of their signs. And now it's just Ayton and Booker. But Booker and Ayton are the ones, you know, they talked about Kobe, Shaq, you know, 2.0, things like that, to try to sell tickets and to get fans excited. And after that first win, we did get excited. I mean, I was super excited. And now, you know, we'll see what happens.
I've also thought about this in sports, and there's the teams that have everything to play for at the end of the season, and then you have the teams like the Cardinals, the Raiders, who are out of it. Is there, from your experience, a spoiler where, you know, you get like a team that's, they have a lot to play for, and now you have a team like the Cardinals coming in, there's pressure-free, where they have that more vengeance to spoil somebody else's playoff hopes, and the Cardinals will play the next six games against teams that have those implications. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, what do you want to see from the Cardinals is you want to see them out there fighting.
Yeah.
Like it's week one. You know, I don't care what the win-loss record is. You, as a fan, if you see them out there not giving up, not giving any effort, and just like they don't even care, what's that going to make you do? You don't want to come watch a product like that. But if you see guys, and this is one of the things that I've been waiting to see, especially from a defensive side of the ball, I want to see guys flying around like their hair's on fire. You know, like even if we get beat 50 to nothing, you cannot question us on our effort. To this point, I haven't seen that. And I know anybody who's a Cardinal fan, you don't see that either. And it's sort of depressing, almost makes you feel like, well, why am I going to waste my time, you know, or my money supporting this team? And the reality is, like I said, there are good wins, bad wins, good losses, bad losses. It's all about how it's presented to us.
Yes.
And right now, the Cardinals are just not giving you much. Yeah. And the Suns, we're harping on the Cardinals, but the Suns too, it's what's going to draw you or keep you entertained to come out there and watch.
No, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, a couple weeks ago when Larry Fitzgerald scored a touchdown, he threw the ball to the ground, and that gave me the chills of like, wow. It was the same thing with the Suns. I don't know if you saw the first game when they beat Dallas, when they, after they went on a run, I mean, the crowd was cheering. It didn't even matter that they were winning. It was just the effort. And they were so excited about the team. And you can just tell when they don't put in effort and they get blown out by 30 points and they just don't care. I mean, from the first game of how packed it was to now, no one's going because there's just no effort.
Yeah.
No one's giving, you know, no one. It doesn't. And you're right. It doesn't matter about the win or loss. It's just, are you going out there and giving it your all 100% and putting everything out there, giving your body? Because that's what players say. I give my body out there. And when you don't see it, it's very disappointing to a fan. And you just don't want to go.
100%, yeah.
You don't want to go see it.
Yeah. Would you say, you know, for the Cardinals situation, there's six games left. You know, they're talking about, you know, will there be changes to be made next year? Do the Cardinals need to win maybe one of these six games for, you know, that to build any momentum? I mean, of course, you know, if let's say they did lose out and they got the number one overall draft pick, well, then there's excitement there for that. But as a, you know, for the perspective of people keeping interest, do they need to upset one of these teams the next 6 weeks? Were it to, in your opinion?
Again, for me, it's the effort. It's,
right. You know, it doesn't really matter the outcome, whether they
doesn't really matter the outcome.
If they lose by 3 points to, say, the Packers in a couple weeks, then you can say, hey, they've given it all they got.
Yeah, look at what they did with Kansas City. I mean, they put up a fight.
Yeah.
And it was very entertaining. And I knew they were going to lose. I mean, I mean, they were going to lose. I mean, it was going to happen. But at least they stayed in the game until the fourth quarter. And I was watching the whole time as a fan, right? And I'm not a huge, huge, huge Cardinals fan, but I love watching the Cardinals, and I stayed in watching it, and there was effort. That game had effort until the fourth quarter.
That's exactly right, because I thought that was going to be the blowout of the week. And when I flipping through the channels and kept monitoring the score and I kept seeing they were in it, I actually paid more attention to that game because they were giving the effort. They looked like they were out there fighting and gave me a reason to stay tuned.
Who wants to watch when they got killed by the Denver Broncos here? Who wants to watch that as a fan?
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't watch.
45-10.
I turned it off. I'm not going to sit there and watch them get blown out.
I kept track just because of the fantasy implications.
Exactly.
Exactly. I just can't as a fan. Like, I don't want to see it.
Would you say for, you know, being the Suns and the Cardinals struggling at the same time, do you both find that it's unusual when you have an NBA team and an NFL team in the same city going through the same problems? And for the Suns, it's been longer. The Cardinals have had some success. Would you find that to be, in looking at major markets, that to be right where they're both struggling at the same time, you know?
It's interesting, I'll tell you. I mean, I think that's the right word to say. It's, you know, I don't know if I can correlate it. I think a lot with the Suns has to do with the ownership. I think there's just certain things. And I think, like I said, I don't know what's going on. Hopefully, like I said, it's all about marketing. And I think they have to give, both teams have to give fans a thing of what's going to happen next year. And I think the effort, and if they can show some effort, because effort can lead to some wins. It really can. That's why they call some games trap games, or is that what how they call it? You know, and like I said, we'll see. I mean, as a fan, it's very disappointing. I'm more of a Suns fan than a Cardinals fan. Yes. I love basketball.
I'd like to point something out too, and this might fall right into your wheelhouse here, Daniel, because just as in business, sports are the same, and sports are a business.
Yep.
Success starts at the top.
Yes.
If you look around good organizations, whether they're professional sports teams or successful businesses, it all starts at this
exactly
level up here.
Correct.
Ownership down to management, then to coaches on the field, then to the players. What I'd like to see is instead of the concentration out here in Arizona is always, well, what are the coaches doing and what are players doing? Let's start looking at what ownership is doing to put people in the proper positions to be successful. You know, I always go back to an organization like the Patriots. You love them, you hate them. You look at the top, Kraft, he's one of those owners. He'll give you anything you want.
Yep.
Below, he's not going to be hands-on. I'm going to give you what you need to be successful. Now go do it. Belichick at this level, personnel, creating a culture around the building.
Yeah.
You know, unsuccessful, non-successful. You know, you got guys, they will take risks on other players. They bring them in because they know their environment can make that person, if you want to fit in, you fit in. If you don't, you know, you're out the door.
Exactly.
But it all starts there. Then, because you've established this, now you're at this level where everybody who's in is all on the same page.
Right.
We got the same game plan. We're all out there for the same mission. We need more of that out here in Arizona, not necessarily better players, better coaches. We need to start building it from the top. Otherwise, it's never going to succeed.
Yeah, no,
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think it's the culture. I mean, everybody looks at, you know, the players on the field. Well, yeah, that's a big part of it, but it's also the culture. What is it all about? I mean, is the organization putting everybody in the right place? So do you think that will change? I mean, I sure hope so.
I was going to ask, and this is a great question for you. I was listening to it. You know, it's hard to get out of a losing culture that you see. I mean, the Suns are in a losing culture of losing, and it just drains people. And that's a great, you know, for a player, how do you get out? I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, I was listening to that of, you know, the Suns have been in a losing culture for a long time. And you look at that, you know, they were just talking, Charles Barkley was on the air, and they were talking about how the owner of the Phoenix Suns is very hands-on with things, wants to do things. And the owner was, Charles Barkley said it, he was like, the only way I'll take the GM spot is I have full control of what I want to do. He's like, too hands-on. And that's, I feel like, like I said, it starts from the top.
Prime example, we start the season here with the Suns, you have all this optimism. 5 days before the start of the season, they fire their general manager. Successful organizations, companies do not make those type of moves. And that's why good stay good, bad stay bad. Out, you know, and when they did that, immediately I thought this is going to be another one of those seasons out here because there's no structure, there's no leadership, you know, and people will say, well, they put someone, you gave them the interim tech. This guy's now fighting, you know, it's not how you do business.
Though, with the Suns as well, there's been great points brought up. They hire a first-year coach, a first-year GM. I mean, they don't hire people that are established.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried getting Mike Budenholzer, you know, and they don't want to come here. And they get rookies. They don't get, like I said, veteran leadership. And they just don't do – and that's how – like, I feel like that's playing into the losing culture.
Yeah.
They get someone of a James Jones, and he has a lot of, you know, working with players. But has never been a manager before. He was interim. I mean, he was, an interim. And so we'll see what happens.
And to answer you, you were leading toward a question, I think, how do the players deal with that?
Yeah.
But the players, because they see what's happening up top and they get frustrated as well, that's when you get nobody buying in to the system. Because like you mentioned earlier, now all of a sudden everybody is all for themselves. I'm going to get mine and, you know, move on. And I could care less, you know, how things come down here. And it never improves. You know, it's going to be that vicious cycle over and over again. You know, they'll go out and get a new general manager. He'll try to incorporate his style. They'll get, you know, there's no match from level to level, meaning his philosophy isn't in line with the coach who's running the daily operations. And now the players see the disenchantment. So it's just a vicious cycle that just continues and continues. Whereas on the flip side, you have an organization like the Patriots, and I hate to bring them up all the time for all you Patriots haters out there. It's the pieces are so interchangeable. They do it with because the attitude and the philosophy is all the same. They can pull this guy out you know, because maybe he's not satisfied with his contract, or we feel like it's time for us to move on. Plug and play. They bring another guy in. He buys into the whole philosophy. They continue to roll. And
look at like the San Antonio Spurs. Look at those type of teams. They have the right head coach, even if they lose. I mean, they're always just a winning team, no matter what. They don't have to even have the best players on the team.
Arguably, they've always had like sometimes middle of the line players. And you see, they're in the playoffs, so it's something at the top. You know, we talk about a lot about, you know, here at Business Radio X about conscious capitalism, giving back to the community. I know both of you deal with athletes. Can you, Edward, talk about players in the NFL, MLB that could follow that? I know you've met John Elway, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, players in your experience that would fall into that category.
Oh yeah, there's a ton of them. And the thing for me is we constantly focus on the negativity out there, especially with athletes, actors, you know, when you turn on ESPN, you never hear the good stories about, you know, what guys are doing out there with their charitable giving, the organizations they support. You know, I try to support a bunch myself, you know, even with my radio show.
Certainly.
You know, all the nonprofits and charitable organizations out here, they know if they have a cause, reach out to me, because I want to, you know, and I'm not in it for anything other than trying to support. The bad side is all it takes is that one guy to do something stupid and it's splashed on ESPN or, you know, across the all the social media outlets, and that's all we see. But there's a ton of guys doing a lot of great things out there in you know, just around. And like I said, I love that and support all of my alumni brothers. And not just football, but baseball as well. And I got a lot of guys doing a lot of great things.
It's winning off the field. I call it. I mean, you know, we can't control. I mean, the scoreboard is, everybody looks at that, but it's the things, that the little things, like going out into the community, helping during the holidays. I mean, that's how you win.
Yeah, and just to, and I'll jump up. I'm going out. Nick Lowry, he does the champions for the homeless.
Remember Nick Lowry, former field kicker.
Yeah, for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is his, I think this is year 10, or it's an even number, so it's either 10 or 12. But I've made the last seven. This six, I think. This will be my seventh in a row. Every Thanksgiving morning, go down to St. Vincent de Paul, and we'll be there as athletes. So the alumni, we go and we support. You know, there's a lot of people in need, and it's amazing. The homeless community, a lot of veterans out there, a lot of people just struggling on hard times, but they open up the doors. We'll be there greeting them as they come through. We have tons of people in there trying to do, you know, good things just to make people who are not necessarily doing really well now, give them a feeling of some type of hope, and, you know, let them know that there are people out there to care. So that's something. I'm actually taking my little dude this year with me, my son Quentin. This will be his first year going with me. I'm going to go. He's going to spend, I'll be there from 10:30 to 10:15 to 12:15. And it, you know, and I do it for another reason. It does make me feel good, but I feel like I'm, you know, just giving a little something to the community as well. And thank you to Nick Lowry for continuing this on. And he does it also for Christmas and Easter as well. And he's up to another one in the summer. So it's not just for the holiday, you know, particular holidays. He's trying to expand it out.
Well, I think that's awesome that you are going to go on Thanksgiving morning to give back to the community. I think, you know, that really says a lot. So I really do appreciate that.
No, and it really hits in. That was my first client when the agent reached out to me for the NBA player. At the time, he was with the Dallas Mavericks, and now he plays for the Sacramento Kings. He needed content. What he was going to do was he wanted to get people's stories of why they deserve tickets, why their family member wants to go to the Dallas Mavericks game. And so we had to create that content for them to get free tickets to the game. And like I said, at the end, when we did that and he put that out there, it was at least 400 Pete families reached out and said, this is why they deserve tickets. And when they asked me, how much do you want for it? I was like, just being a part of that was the best thing ever. I don't want money. I don't want anything. Like I said, I want the connection, but as well, just being a part of making someone's holiday and families, because you go out there and you see how fortunate we are. I mean, you see how many families are struggling. I donate and I take a lot of time at the Phoenix Children's Hospital. And you see kids come out, you know, the rest of their life are sick. Athletes are always doing something. You see with the Phoenix Suns, they're going to the the VA, you know, taking pictures, giving tickets away. They're always doing something. I mean,
that's when, like I said, winning off the field.
Exactly.
I mean, those are things where, you know, like I said before, we'd like to see them win on the court or on the field. But, you know, if you can win in your community, well, you're going to be winning 100%, huge. Those are things. So I'm always the kind of person, like we've talked about a lot on the show about, you know, team performances. And I look at it and I reflect, you know, when it's time, like the Suns and the Cardinals, where they're both struggling, what can these teams do that's going to bring in the positiveness so we can, you know, I know there's a lot of things that go off the field and on the field where not, you know, exactly the, you know, the most promising now, but doing those things that are going to keep the fans say, hey, you know, we've done charities.
Yeah, look what Larry Fitzgerald did. Yeah. There was a restaurant in Scottsdale and he goes to this, it's a sandwich shop, and he goes there to eat. And the owner has been there for over 40 years, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And Larry Fitzgerald one day was like, I'll pay for every single person's lunch and donate to his cancer. And it was just, you should have seen how many people, I couldn't get in. I mean, it was ridiculous, but it was amazing to see that he did that for that family.
Yeah, so when you were playing in the NFL, it was very much so the same as it is now, Edward. I mean, the players were very, it was very much like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and a lot of times things are done behind the scenes because the good dudes do it just to do it. You know, they don't need the notoriety and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that are, you know, even more than we see, which is good, you know. A lot of people do things just so they can say, hey, look what I did. No, it's really
from the heart.
Yeah, it comes from the heart. Certainly. When you do it just to, you know, yeah, just to be out there doing that. That was a great event, that what Larry did.
Yeah.
I remember listening to it on the radio all day, and they kept talking about it. And it was just amazing, the outpouring of support. And he's a great dude. I helped him promote his charity softball game this past year. And they invited me and a couple other guys that we were promoting on our shows to come out and just to see what they were doing and for his charity and everything. And it'll be coming up again in April, I think it was, of last. So it'll be coming up soon. I'm sure he'll have it again. But, you know, he's a good dude. He's a really, he's one of the really good,
that's one thing you can
guys.
Take from Larry Fitzgerald is he's a part of the community of the Arizona community.
He certainly
community.
Is. Yeah,
he does a lot for the community.
That is certainly awesome. Shifting gears a little bit here, I know you had on your forum here, I talked about how the average person keeps up with the constant changing social media, Jacob, but how does that happen? I mean, with everything going on, you know, especially with, you know, all the different things we have going on in life, what's your perspective on that? And also, Edward,
can you ask that question again? Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. How can the average person keep up with the constant changing media environment?
I mean, look, a lot of people are starting to get their news right off of social media. And like I said, you know, I don't get my news off of social media, off of Facebook and things like that. But I'm telling you, a lot of people are starting to stay away from TV and are going on social media. I mean, it's just a countless number of people that I know that are just getting all their content, everything just off of social media, their new breaking news. You know, a lot of people follow reporters, Bleacher Report, these type of apps, and that's where they get information. And it even gets political. I mean, it's just everything comes there. And it's interesting because you don't know what's true, what's not true. Players are starting to break news right off of Twitter. I mean, it's ridiculous what you see. I mean, what's happening with what happened with Jimmy Butler. I mean, things were happening at practice and someone would break the news right off of Twitter and they would find out like that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you seen it change?
For me, I go by the old saying, believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see. As far as social media, I don't use it as much as I probably should because I don't want to fall into the trap of it. And at the same time, you know, I have to be out there a little bit because of my radio shows and the things I do as far as speaking. But that's not a source for me to get any real news. I stay away from it in that aspect. But at the same time, it's amazing. It has become the first source for most people.
I'm telling you right now, my grandma is 88 years old. 88 years old. She just bought a couch off of social media. I mean, I go to dinner with them all the time. And my grandpa's always complaining. He's like, I see these families and all of them are on their phone. At the same time, he's on Facebook at the same time looking at, you know, and that's just, you know, that's just the way it is now, you know, and it's not good. I mean, probably not the best thing when families are at the table, you know, on their phones. But yeah, I mean, people think, you know, I'm telling you, know, the older generation are getting in tune with social media because that's where the market's going. And so, yeah,
it's definitely it's changed also.
100%.
So from your perspective, athletes really need to be considering that, you know, when probably every day of their life. Right. I mean, whether it's in the off season, because you have, like I said, off the field, on the field, everything they do is looked at. So,
yeah,
they're always looking at,
I mean, you got to look and in business is the same thing. I tell them, you got to look what works and what doesn't work. Yeah. You got to take the things that work. You look at what guys like LeBron James, you look at these players. I mean, they're on social media promoting their brands and taking their, you know, professional to the next level. LeBron, like I said, he just did the whole school. I can't think of what it's called, a promise school or something. But that's promoted all over social media, I mean, to get kids involved. And so it's taking a whole new aspect. You know, at first, when I first started social media, you know, when I was in college, it wasn't for businesses. Businesses weren't using it.
Yeah.
Then it got to a whole new level where that's kind of when I started. I was like, businesses should be using it. And that's when I approached businesses to start getting on social media. And now influencers, I mean, I manage kids that are 13, 14 years old that are making hundreds of thousands a month off of social media because they work with businesses doing their branding. I mean, it's there's a bunch of different angles that people use for athletes, for everything off of social media. And it's, like I said, we'll see what happens.
For me, the question that you one of the first questions you probably are asking, especially athletes when you're kind of interviewing them, is what do they want to accomplish?
Exactly. And that's with businesses, athletes, you know, at the end of the day, what's your end goal? Like, what do you want to accomplish? What type of content do you want to, what do you want to portray as yourself? What's your brand, right? What do you want to get there? And then we can dial in what we want to get out there.
I would warn most of them, if you're not looking to accomplish anything, just stay away
exactly.
from it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, use it for a purpose, not just for as a tool, because that tool to have a little fun can get you into a whole lot of trouble. So
100%.
And that's why anybody who's looking to create or expand their brand, you need to be talking to somebody like Jacob.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate
awesome.
That.
I've really enjoyed having both of you this afternoon on this show, and I really appreciate your positiveness and all the great insight you have of sports. I mean, you know, Edward, I really appreciate that, you know, your perspective as a former player, as well as what you do, Jacob. And it's awesome. I mean, being a sports fan, when I woke up this morning, you know, having the opportunity to interview both of you, it really makes my day. So I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Any special Thanksgiving plans as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday?
I got a lot of work to do because a lot of my businesses and athletes need content for Thanksgiving charities and things that they're doing for holidays. So I have a lot of work to do, but it's not even work for me. I love it. And I think I tell everyone all the time, because I do a lot of speaking engagements. I'm like, find something you love to do, dominate that space. And like I said, it won't be work.
Well, you love what you do.
You love what you do. You know, that's the one thing my grandma always taught me, is that's the worst thing to do is wake up in the morning and hate what you have to do. And so I do have a lot of work. I will be going to my family's Thanksgiving, but I have a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. And I know you'll be out at...
St. Vincent de Paul, and then I'll be hosting dinner at the house on Thursday, so everybody will be coming up.
That's awesome.
Have a lot of fun. Enjoy the holidays. And the thing I always tell people, it's not just about eating food, man. It's about giving thanks. Yep. Everybody be thankful for
what you have.
What you have. Yes. You know, with turkey and all that stuff, it'll be there. But, you know, think about how
football.
Blessed we all are. And some football.
Yeah, football on Thanksgiving morning. Yeah. We've got the Lions and the Bears, the Cowboys and the Redskins, and the Saints and the Falcons.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend of football.
For our listening audience that wants to get in touch with you and to reach out, how can they do that, starting with you, Jacob? How can they reach out to you?
Well, I'm all over social media, right?
Of course.
But the name of my company is Fantastic Media, Fantastic Media. And my email is fantasticmedia@gmail.com. Anyone, individuals, anything, I love to help. That's my whole motto, is I love to help people. I'm actually flying to California after this and going to help out with the fires that are happening. Like I said, I love helping people. So
awesome.
I love to do those things. So, yeah.
How about for you, Edward? How the public can reach out to you?
For me, I have the website, edsmithspeaks.com. I've also partnered with a new company called CoreLink, CoreLinc, no E and a C at the end. And I've actually started developing some communities. You can go to edsmith.corelink.com and see what I've put together. I have some stuff together for my parent community. I also have a charitable organization section I have set up, which is Ed Smith Cares. And the radio show as well, Easy Sports Talk, where I support all of my partners and everything. And I'm actually going to be putting a page together soon for all my speaking events and everything.
And you'll be back at the Neighborhood Bar Grill on the first.
Yeah, I'll be back at the show is every Saturday from 10 to 12. I'm taking this Saturday off, so I got one off. But we'll be back on December 1st at MPX. And then we'll be, the whole month of December is already booked up. We'll be all over the place. So keep an eye on where we're at.
Hopefully you can join him out there one time.
I'd love to.
Absolutely, gentlemen. I really appreciate you guys and what you do for the world of sports. I thank you very much for everything you can contribute here and for being on my show. So thank you so much. And I really hope you enjoyed this Thanksgiving today. So
thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Karen, as well.
Thank you both.
Didn't say a word all this show, but she's been sitting there working hard. But
thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left and some leans right. We lean business. Until next time, I'm Daniel LaGorie.